blessed today to come and worship the Lord. Amen. While they're being dismissed, we want you to turn with us to John, the fourth chapter, 23 and 24, John 4, 23 and 24. Amen. But it feels good to feel God today, to feel the loving touch, the connection of God. Amen. And we're so thankful for, amen, the blessings that God gives. And he is our shepherd, great shepherd. He is our great shepherd, the rock of all ages, the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. Are you thankful for him today? Amen. The Lord has dealt with me today, and I want to deliver my heart. And so we go to John 4, 23, 24. The scripture said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God seeking for those that would worship him truly in spirit and in truth. Amen. Lord, we thank you today for your blessings, your word, the way that you minister to us. God, we're so grateful for. Would you bless and would you anoint and would you touch us today with your grace in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Amen. Known this scripture all my life that I can remember. Heard it all my life. Amen. I've quoted this scripture. It's one of the first ones that we began to learn years ago. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in his spirit and in truth. Amen. Know the location. I've known it, the reference of it, where to find it. Amen. I've diced it as a pastor, student of the Word of God. In every direction, I've studied it. I've looked at it. I've preached from it many times. I've taught from it many times. But friend, the practical application of this is what matters. You can know about God and you can know about truth, but until you do the truth, truth is no good for you. It does nothing for you. In other words, just knowing it. But the beauty of it is whenever it's applied, you see, it's who you are, the way you live that really counts before God. Amen. You worship, amen, but your worship must engage. Everybody say we got to engage. It has to engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. It's what you do. And this is the kind of people that God seeks and he looks for. Amen. Who will simply and honestly, amen, worship him, amen, from their heart. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, and the true self in adoration. Adoration is when we adore the Lord above everything else in our life. Are you thankful that God's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Amen. I'm glad I serve the living God. I'm glad today that I don't have to bow before a tree. I don't have to bow before a stone. I don't have to bow before a statue or bow before some unknown thing saying, you know, maybe there might be something out there. But today I'm glad I have something alive that I can worship. And I have more than just a something. I have God Almighty living inside me. Amen. Are you thankful? God is a spirit. God is real. God is genuine. And God is that present God who still can do, amen, exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think. Amen. He still blows my mind and he's still worthy of my life. Praise God. Amen. And we come to church many times and we've learned that Sundays is a time to recognize God, and it's a time that we come and we begin to think about God. But friend, I don't want to think about God just on Sundays, and I know that you have more than that in your capacity, that God is more than just a Sunday creature, but God is God, and God is not bound by time, and God is not bound by space, but God is from everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. What a mighty God God I serve. What a mighty God we have today. What a wonderful God we have today. Amen. And how beautiful it is. You know, I look at the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and I find what is the bottom line of living for God? What is the basics? And what must I do? We always want to say, What is the basics? What do I need to give in order to get what this is? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verse 13 and 14, it says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Everybody say fear God. And keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Verse 14, it says, for God shall bring in every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Are you thankful that God is the one that weighs it all out in the end? But let's hear the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandment. God knows the real. And in the end, he's going to bring every secret thing, good things, evil things, into judgment. Amen. I'm not thankful that, amen. I want to tell you, there's no good in me. Evil's not next door. Sin is not somewhere in the gutters and the galleys and all the sinful places. Sin is not locked up in the prison. But sin and evil can be in every one of us until we let God be God in our life. Do you know that every day I have to die out to self, or else evil begins to creep to the throne of my heart, and evil begins to take the reins very quickly. It don't take long for evil, amen, to take everything of good inside. Amen. Isn't that crazy how evil can take a garden of perfectness and wholesomeness and completeness, and in just a little bit of time, Adam and Eve found themselves on the outs. Amen. I want to just say today that sin will always put us on the outs, but I'm thankful that grace got a hold of my life. God has grace. I don't deserve what God is. I don't even deserve to be here today, but the goodness of God has made me a candidate. Amen. I want to tell you, you can't live for God without God. Amen. You can't even know the things of God without his presence and his beauty. Amen. Oh, it just takes the goodness of God. So, amen, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. I have an obligation to keep some things in perspective. I've got to fear God. What does fear God mean? Does it mean to be afraid of God, like God has a big hammer that he is wanting to hammer me, or God has a fly swatter like a woman waiting on that fly to get on that table? Amen. Splat. No. That's not the fear. But that fear is, hey, God can do that. Amen. But I fear God enough to live for God and say, God, I want your way to be done in my life. I respect you. I love you. Amen. That fear is more than just afraid that God. No, it's a joy to live for God. It's a respect and an honor and a sense of divine and utmost reverence in my heart. Are you glad that we serve a living King? Are you thankful that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings? Fear God. Keep his commandment. In Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verses 11 and 12, I want to just share with you this scripture. Let me just say, obedience to God really matters. And somehow or another, have you ever had a problem with obedience? I want to tell you, wet paint sign means touch to a lot of people. Don't open lid. Curiosity kills the. And there's something about curiosity in every one of us, intrigued to just test it. Adam and Eve, I mean, Eve, she just had to do it, didn't she? And I want to tell you, I can't obey without the help of God. Isn't that crazy? Hey, I'm speaking for all of us, aren't we? Amen. I need God's help. Amen. Listen to what the scripture says in Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold thou fast which thou hast. That sounds rhyming, but I want to tell you what it says. Hey, God's coming quickly. Hang on to what you got. Let no man take thy crown. Hold on to what you got. Let no man take your crown. Would you look at your neighbor or somebody around you and say, hang on to your crown. Hang on to that crown. You know what that crown of eternal life that Jesus has for you? Amen. Don't let anything steal your crown. Don't let everything take that crown. I'm telling you, there's a lot of spirits and a lot of things that want your crown. that wants your crown. That crown is more than just something I'm going to wear. It's a positioning, amen, with God. Amen. God has crowned us to be his children and his heirs. God has great things for you. Amen. Not just to come, but great things for your life right now. Amen. When you hang on to the crown and you live for God, you've got a God that will live for you and take care of you. The Lord is my shepherd. He's going to take care of me as I follow him. So hang on to your crown. Amen. Verse 12 says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write him on the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. Are you thankful that God has a placement for you? Amen. Oh, friend, when you hold on to the crown, amen. Look at somebody else that you didn't look at and tell them, hang on to your crown. Amen. Now, I want to go to 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians in 4th chapter, verse 7. We're getting somewhere. Hang on with me just a little bit. Amen. Hope you got your seatbelts on with us to take off. Amen. The scripture said, but we had this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Brother John, this is an old earthen vessel. Brother John, you're 20 years old. About to be 20 years old. Amen. Brother John, your body, amen, that you have, amen, this young man that you are now, he's able to pick up those truck tires and sling those tires, wrestle those tires, and change those truck tires right now. But there comes a time that you get people's age. People make it do a tire or two, but he can't do 10 of them like you did the other day. Amen. Because you're young. His vessel, this old body that he has, amen, believe it or not, amen, it starts to get aged. It's because that's just biology. It doesn't mean God's against you, Paul. Amen. That doesn't mean that Paul's in sin. That just means that's just life. We just have a time that we start expiring. Our energy starts leaving. Amen. Oh, Fred, I want to just tell you today, but God has chosen to put his treasure in an earthen vessel called your life. Amen. Oh, that the power may be of God and not of us. I want to tell somebody, God has chosen to live inside of you, and what a treasure that he sees in your life. But sometimes we don't see what God sees in us. Amen. I just want to encourage somebody, it's worth living for God today. It's worth living for God. And we're going to talk about that just in a moment, about the treasure and the worth and the price and all these different things. But let me just tell you today, amen, when you live for God and you love God, and there's a reason that you live for God, it's worth it. It's worth everything in the whole, amen, world, amen, to give to God your life. Why do you live? What makes it so special that you're willing to give everything to God? Amen. Oh, friend, there's some people do it because of fear of going to hell. And there used to be a song that people sang, and this was the name of the song. The reason I'm in this church, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost when Jesus comes. Anybody remember that song? Well, yeah. That's a good song. But the reason I'm in this church is more than I just don't want to be lost. There's some people in the church because they don't want to face the consequences and the penalty of being lost. That's what their mindset is. But you better have a greater thing than just that. Because there's people that somehow or another start losing that ability and the sensory and all the senses that you have after a while begins to get numb, and you just don't care about life. You don't care about eternal life. But the reason I'm in the church today, amen, is more than just I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to spend eternity in the lake of doom. But the reason I'm in the church today, the reason why I love God and live for God, it's because of God in my life. He's the one that makes the value in my life. He's the one that has changed me. He's the one that has made a great exchange in my life. Amen. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Amen. A man went to a foreign country. He was a shoe salesman years and years ago. He had aboard a ship and had traveled for 12 days across the ocean aboard that ship. And when he gets to that foreign country, he was disappointed. He was a shoe salesman. He looked around. Everybody there didn't wear shoes. He telegraphs back to America to his company and said, I'm coming home. Nobody has shoes over here. Well, they sent another shoe salesman to that country. And whenever he gets off, he sends a telegram, send me boatloads of shoes. Everybody needs a pair of shoes here. I want to tell somebody, amen, when you got the right source and you see the need around you, amen, it's like this. I can't help but share what God's done for me. Amen. If he's helped you, amen, you look at a world around you where everybody wants to write everybody. Everybody wants to critique everybody. Everybody wants to say they're too bad. They're unwanted. Amen. Oh, but when God has done it for you, amen, you want to share what God has done. You want to say God sent a boatload over here. There's a world that needs help. Amen. There's a world that needs what you've done for me, Jesus. What has Jesus done for you in your life? What has Jesus done for you that is worth you living for him? There's some people that are bored in their relationship with God. Amen. Because they're not, amen, remembering what God has done for them. What does God have to do to get you? What does God have to do to get you to be committed to him? Does tragic have to happen to your life? Do you have to have a car wreck where your bones are broken and for the rest of your life you're all crunched up and you have to go through serious? Does God have to do all these different things to try to get your attention? Does tragedy have to come? Do all these serious things have to come to you to finally God to get you? No, I want to tell you, even if tragedy comes, it still don't get the attention of people. I know people that daily court death. But they still don't turn to God. I want to tell you what will get you when you really look at the love of God. It's the love of God, the goodness of God that causes a man to turn to God. Amen. I'm thankful for the goodness of God that God has been good to me. Amen. Somewhere in life, you've got to discover the goodness of God. And the goodness of God turns you to him that now you see the worth of living for God. Amen. I want to talk to you about the price, the cost of living for God, the cost of living for God. Y'all know what it is? What is the cost? The cost is everything. If you're not willing to give everything, you're missing it. Matthew, the 13th chapter, Jesus talked about a parable, or he gave a parable. He gave two back-to-back parables because he wanted us to feel the weight and the urgency and the value of what it means to give him everything. Both parables paint the same picture in two different angles. One was a man that finds a treasure that was hidden in a field. And the other was a merchant, a man that traveled and bought things. He discovers a pearl of extraordinary worth. Different people, different scenarios, but one identical response. They sold everything they had. The man that found the treasure in a field, he found out who owned the field and how much they wanted to sell it for. And he went and he began to inquire, how much you want to sell this field for? Well, it's just an old field out here. It's got grass and brush and it's a worthless piece. The place is kind of low. You know, it's not fit to build anything. Why do you want my field? And the merchant man went to a little shop. And in that shop, he was just rummaging around. It was one of those probably shops that had all kind of different things. And there in the back of that little shop where you rummage through things and you think, oh, this is just a bunch of junk. Somewhere in the bin in the back, he found a loose item, a pearl. And this merchant man realized what was in it. He realized this is a pearl, a great price. No, that's not what the scripture's saying. He went to a shop and he didn't just found something that was discarded, but it was something on the display where the man had it there, and he knew it was a pearl. He knew it was a rare thing. He knew it, and in that display case, there it was. It was on black velvet. It was protected. They had an alarm system. And he asked the man, hey, you got something great here. How much will it cost? And when the man gave the price, the only way that this merchant could afford it was to go back home and sell everything he had. It's the same thing with the field. The man who owned the field had a high price for it. It wasn't just tucked back. Let's just say it was at the right corner. Right corner, a very commercial piece of property, to where this man had a hope one day that a hotel would be built here, or a mall, or something great. Maybe a Chick-fil-A will come here. And so the owner of the field said, it's a great price. It wasn't something just out there like so many people talk about. It was something that somebody had a high price, that it took both men selling everything they had in order to afford it. And the Bible says it was worth selling everything, amen, in order to purchase the field. I want to tell somebody, the kingdom of God is worth absolutely everything. I want to say it again. The kingdom of God is worth absolutely everything. In both stories, these men discovered something so valuable that it radically defined everything else in their life. Amen. Can God have, amen, your everything? Amen. I just want to ask somebody today, is God worth your everything? This treasure and this pearl are not ordinary objects. They are life-altering, destiny-shifting, and incomparable riches, amen, worth more than anything else in our lives, amen. But some people leave it like it's just something you found in a rummage store. Hey, friend, this is not rummage store and backwoods property that nobody know. The treasure of treasures, amen, is an expensive thing. It's going to cost you your everything, everything you are, everything you got. Well, Brother Crossway, that's a high price, but you don't understand the value. The high cost of living for God is a great challenge. It's like, well, who can be saved then? Who in the world can be saved? I can't live for God. There's no way I can do all the do's and all the don'ts. I want to tell you, you can't. You can't do all the do's and the don'ts. You finally have to get to that place and say, God, I can't live for you without you. I can't cross the T's and dot the I's. That's where the goodness of God comes in. Are you thankful there's power in the Holy Ghost? Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost is you not shaking around and just speaking with other tongues. The power of the Holy Ghost gives you the ability to say, no, I'm not going to bow. No, I'm not going to cash in. No, I'm not going to throw in the towel. No, I'm not going that way. The power of the Holy Ghost gives you the power to resist, and the power to become, and the power to step up into a greater dimension than you ever could be on your own and by yourself. I'm thankful for the treasure of treasures. You ought to lift your hands and thank God that you can be His child. You can have His crown today. You can be something of great value. Amen. All because of Calvary. Amen. Come on, would you thank the Lord for Calvary with me today? Thank you, Jesus. I praise you and I thank you for Calvary. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You have never found anything in the world that compares to what God has for your life. They did not bargain. The Bible says these men did not negotiate or hesitate. Why do we bargain? Why do we negotiate? Why do we hesitate? They gladly surrendered everything because they knew what they gained was infinitely greater than what they were and what they had. You know, selling out was not a sacrifice. It was a wise exchange. You're not losing. You're trading. You're not giving up. You're moving up. You're not emptying yourself. You're positioning yourself to be filled. But the devil wants the cost to be like, you're losing you. It's too hard to live for God. It's too hard to give up. You're going to be empty. Look at all the things you got. Well, the things you got has not made you anything. They just weight you down. Are you willing? Amen. And ready for an exchange? Amen. Oh, friend, I'm thankful today for the power of the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not just valuable. It's priceless. Amen. This treasure wasn't expensive. It was incomparable. There was nothing that can compare. The pearl wasn't rare. It was beyond calculation. Selling everything wasn't a sacrifice. It was a strategic exchange. I've come to tell somebody, oh, what a change God makes when you finally say yes to him. They weren't losing everything. They were gaining more than they could imagine. Think with me. In the same way, life with God, salvation, eternal life. You get purpose. You get peace. You get joy. You have the Holy Ghost. You get heaven. You get a relationship with Jesus Christ. These are not simply empty blessings. They're not just valuable blessings. These are treasures, even that the nothing on earth can ever match to. I'm thankful today that God has something more than the most valuable thing this world has. I come to tell somebody, it's worth everything to live for God. It's worth everything to have God in your life. You ought to give the Lord a hand of praise today for the worth. I want you to think about it. You can't gain the treasures while holding on to lesser things. You'll never know the treasury of God. This is the uncomfortable but powerful truth of both parables here. That you can't hold the treasure and hold the world at the same time. You can't. And the things that we treasure are really connected to pride, to lust, to control, to securities, to validation. And let me just say, there's nothing that will validate you and liberate you like the power of God in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. I loved it when I sat across the table just the other night. Our missionaries that popped in and visit with us last Sunday morning, they just showed up. They're great friends of ours that we've known for many years. And the other night, we had the privilege of going and catching them and sitting across the table with them and begin to talk to them in more than a lengthy manner. We visited, and they opened their hearts. This man had a thriving business. This guy, you've seen, he's a cowboy. I mean, when's the last time we had a preacher with a pair of cowboy boots on? I mean, Brother Sledge, I mean, amazing. People knew him all over West Texas, North Texas, Oklahoma. They knew him. People that had bulls that they could not contain, bulls they could not get out of their pasture because they were mean. Guess who they called? They called him. And he charged them big money. Think about it. He was the courier that went and got those bulls, loaded them up. And they would pay him and write him big checks. He had a thriving business. She is an editor. Most of the stuff that you read from David Bernard, other preachers that you read books from, she's the editor, well known. They had a thriving life, a thriving place. They had everything. But when the Holy Ghost spoke to them, guess what they did? They sold everything they had. Everything they owned. And when they went to Berlin, they live in a little bitty apartment. But you know what they said? They said, Brother Cross, we're so happy because we have something flowing. We're not bound to anything. Thanksgiving, in fact, you know, she has nobody anymore. She come from a well-known family, but her mama's dead, daddy's dead, sister's dead. Everybody, they have nobody. But they had such a time. Just them. And I looked at them thinking, they're so happy. They're so free. They found the key of selling out. And the joy of doing the work for the King of Kings. I'm not telling you today to go sell everything you got. Amen. But I'm telling you, you need to sell yourself out to God. Amen. God is calling us today to sell ourselves to God and buy into this priceless treasure. Amen. I'm talking to somebody today. Amen. You can't gain the treasure by holding on to lesser things. What are you trying to prove to yourself and to other people? Your Facebook platform is really, amen, not the followers and all. Those people never help you out. Amen. But hear me, I have a God, amen, who's on my side. And if God be for you, who could be against you? I'd rather have the attention of the Almighty God than have 1,000 followers. Wow. 10,000, million followers. And a man was just so ecstatic. He said, my daughter's song just got 1 million views. But yet his daughter's living a trashy life. I don't care how many views you got. If your life is trashed and you don't have the treasure of treasures, what good is your life? This world sets their gold upon worthless things, petty things. Amen. Oh, prestige and pride. But friend, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have him than a whole world and all the things and the plastics of this world. I'd rather have my God on my side and be sold out to him. Amen. Than to be a king. Amen. And have domain. I'd rather have the King of Kings living in my life. Hallelujah. The man didn't buy the treasure and keep his old possessions, and the merchant didn't purchase the pearl and keep the rest of his inventory. There was one price. It was everything. Not to earn salvation, but because true transformation requires a total surrender. Somewhere in life, you got to total surrender. I want to just emphasize this. You ever get frustrated yourself? You ever get tired of yourself? You ever get tired of failures and loneliness and problems? You ever get tired of falling in the same old trap? You get tired of hitting your head on the same old thing? Stumbling on the same old rock? Fumbling and making a fool of yourself? How many's ever made a fool of yourself? How many's ever couldn't get anything right? Come on. How many's every time you try to say something, immediately the buzzards of life pecked you to pieces? Every time you tried, it seems like you didn't gain. I want to tell you, you can't go wrong by surrender and saying, God, I need you. Amen. Have you ever tried that ultimate surrender to where you finally get to that place to say, God, I'm tired of me. I'm tired of the way it's going. I want to be yours completely. Selling out isn't a loss. It's a liberation. From the outside, people see surrender to God as losing your life. But in God's economy, losing is finding. Surrendering is victory. Sacrifice is investment. And giving up is gaining. I'm telling somebody today, the treasure you receive is so overwhelming that nothing you give up compares to what you receive in return. Amen. Look, God will take your brokenness. God will take your emptiness. God will take your evil. God will take all those secret things that you don't want everybody knowing about. He'll take it all. And look what he gives in response to that. When you surrender your nothing, God gives you his everything. What a mighty God we have today. Somebody ought to be glad today that God has a great exchange program. My God, what a joy. The value reveals the heart. What you sell determines your treasure. God's talking to hearts today. The man sold everything with joy, not grudgingly. His action revealed his heart. He saw the value. He understood the exchange. He recognized what was truly worth it. And people only hesitate to surrender to God when they undervalue the treasure and overvalue the temporary. I want to tell you, this world's just temporary. Your life is just temporary. You let a man start losing his hair, and he's had a beautiful head of hair, and I can talk about it. My mom will verify that when I was a kid, I had to have my hair thinned out when I went to the barber shop. But genealogy, genetics, has a way of winning. And I can remember the first time I started looking and start seeing a little bald spot. And I thought, oh no, surely not me. Not me, I had the thickest hair. And so you start combing your hair a little different. You ever seen somebody that was just in despair because of their hair? Brother Chad liked that one. I'm using that because it's something personal. You get so upset. Well, I don't look this way. I don't fit into everybody's expectation. I want to tell you, God only made one you, not 20, not 10, not two. You could search the whole world over, for God only made one you. There's just one you. But Sister Donna, God called you. He didn't call you to look like Marilyn Monroe or Elizabeth Taylor. He didn't call you to look like Barbie. He didn't call you to act like Barbie or begin. No, no, no. He called you to be Donna. Amen. Middle name, Sue? Donna Pearl. Amen. He called you to be you. Amen. Oh, are you thankful that there's just one you? And he went to Calvary for you, but he also called you to be you for him. Amen. He's not wanting you to be Princess Diana. He's not calling you to be something else. God is wanting you to be you for him. Amen. He paid the price for you, and he's here today to say, come on, give me you. Amen. Once your spiritual eyes are opening, selling out is not a sacrifice. It's wisdom. Hallelujah. Jesus is a treasure, not just what he gives. I want to say it again so you sink in. Jesus is the treasure, not just what he gives. He gives treasure, but he's the greatest treasure, the greatest truth of all. The treasure's not just heaven. It's just not peace, or it's not just blessing. But the treasure is Jesus himself. The merchant wasn't buying a bag of pearls. He was buying one. I want to tell you that priceless, irreplaceable God of heaven fits exactly in the need of your life. Amen. Jesus is that pearl. To have him is to have forgiveness. It's to have purpose. It's to have redemption. It's to have identity. It's to have destiny and to have eternal life. And without him, you could own the world and still be bankrupt. I'm telling somebody, what a joy to know, amen, that he's paid the price for you, amen, and he's just asking for you. He's asking for you to give up and give everything to him. Full surrender unlocks full joy. No one in the parables regretted selling out. No one walked away sad. Man, I have done things that I have regretted and regretted and regretted. I've had opportunities. I was at the threshold of opportunity before. And I didn't take advantage of it, and I regret it. But I've never regret saying yes to God. Hallelujah. The treasure made the cost irrelevant. I want to tell you, if you're worried about the cost of living for God, you're messed up. When somebody fully surrenders to God, the joy outweighs the price. The peace outweighs the battle. The promise outweighs the sacrifice. And the glory outweighs the suffering. Amen. Oh, the real point, the exchange is in your favor today. Amen. Selling out to God doesn't diminish your life. It multiplies it. I want to tell somebody the joy, the freedom you get when you say yes to God and make up your mind, I'm going to be what God has called me to be. Jesus is teaching here when you understand the value of what I offer, the cost will never scare you. I'm telling you, even the world asks you even to pay everything and give, and it gives nothing back. When the world tells you a great price, you got to pay this. You, in order to be a part of this, you got to pay this, but the world would never give back. But when you live for God, God gives everything back to you. Amen. Oh, friend, are you thankful for a new name, a new life, a new way of living, a new mindset? Amen. A new glory. Amen. Oh, friend, Jesus asks you to give him everything, and he gives himself back. What a powerful exchange. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that whenever you make that exchange, God lets you keep the change. He'll change you. He'll rearrange some things. And when you see the treasure right, you'll sell out right. Again, surrender is not a loss, but it's the smartest trade you'll ever make. And the whole point of what I'm talking to you about today, half-hearted people never find hidden treasure. The true worshiper worships the Father in spirit and in truth. I want to tell you, it's more than repentance. It's more than baptism in Jesus' name. And it's more than speaking in other tongues and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's more to it than just that. Many times we've capitalized just on that. We've made that the diploma. When you receive the Holy Ghost, after you get baptized in water in Jesus' name, and you're repentant, boy, we shout, and we say, oh, yeah. And it's something to shout about. But we have made it to become the diploma instead of the birth certificate. When you receive the Spirit of God in your life, it's just the beginning. The beginning of joy and peace. And you're going to have trials. Those things are going to come against you. But we got a God that will walk with us in the fire. We got a God that will be with us in the lion's den. We got a God that will help us against Goliath on the battlefield. And we got a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. What a God we serve. I want to tell you, it's worth it. Amen. Half-hearted people never find the fullness of the treasure. Let me say, the kingdom isn't bought with money, but it's bought with everything. Do you remember the rich young ruler? Comes to Jesus, what must I do to inherit? Jesus said, sell everything. And he went away sorrowful. God's greatest blessings lives behind the door marked total surrender. And the only way to purchase eternal treasure is give God the nothing that you are and receive the everything that he is. My, I got to say that again today. The only way to purchase eternal treasure is to give God the nothing you are and receive the everything that he is. I want to tell somebody today, redemption is God taking what's broken, ugly, unwanted, undesirable, and evil and reclaiming it for his glory and his goodness. That's the reason why you better not write off somebody and say, no, they're unfit for the kingdom of God. They're too bad. They messed up too many times. Oh, they got bad. Are you thankful that God looks beyond reputation and character? How many, amen, you've known somebody with a poor reputation, but when they finally surrendered to God, God went beyond the reputation and made a new creature out of them. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Amen. God is calling today. God is beckoning. God is challenging somebody, amen, to give in everything. Amen. To cash in. Your way's not working. You fooled yourself. You think you got it all. But the King of Kings steps in today and say, hey, you've troubled yourself. You're worried. You take handfuls of medicine just to calm yourself down. You think you got it all together. You think you're fooling. It's kind of like this. I heard a psychologist mention the other day that my generation uses Facebook. I don't, but my generation uses Facebook. Your generation uses TikTok. And they said, but it's the same scenario. It's a show. A lot of times, people that do it, they show, and it makes it look so pleasant, like, oh, that's such a beautiful family. That's a beautiful lady. They look so fun. Their life looks so complete. But they said, many people that are there, even the influencers and all these different medias and all the media, whatever you want to call it, platforms behind the scene live a lie. Through the lens of the camera, it looks one way. But when the camera's off of them, they're still the miserable creature. And even though they have performed and it looks like everything is right, they still have an emptiness to face. But are you thankful today that Jesus has more than just a platform and a pretension and just a show where you come to church and you put on your clothes and you look at 1 minute and it's just plastic, just plaster. It's just nothing. But I want to tell you, when Jesus is your everything, amen, there's something beautiful about it, because he'll take your nothing and make it beautiful. Amen. Hang on to your crown. I need you to look at somebody else right now and tell them, hang on to your crown. Get a hold of that crown. Hang on to that crown. Brother, hang on to that crown. Sell out for that crown. Live for that crown. Fight for that crown. Say, no, no, no. This crown's not for sale. Amen. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Amen. Hallelujah. Also wisdom and instruction. On it goes. But friend, amen, I want to hang on to what God has given me. Amen. God has a glory for us. Amen. What's the price today? Amen. The price is everything. Amen. All the joy comes when somebody says yes to God. Amen. Oh, friend, don't fool yourself. Amen. Don't fool yourself and think, oh, well, I got to join the church and I can't do this. I become... No, 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 no. Amen. It's not the can't do and the can do's. It's I get to live for God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. God has the power to recreate and reclaim you and turn your sadness to joy and give you a new desire when you surrender everything to him. I tried it, Brother Crosswhite. I tried it. Well, I want to tell you, it's a daily walk. It's a daily cross and a daily self-denial. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil, we zip him up in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. And we talk about the devil. And I want to just say, like Brother Coon said yesterday in visiting with Brother Coon, he said the devil couldn't live for the Lord when he wasn't a devil. But I want to tell you, the devil knows how to corrupt the mind. The devil's not the problem in the situation. Self is the problem. And when I don't surrender me, amen, I lose what he has for my life. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord today. Or how about you? Amen. God has spoken today in this place. I want you to stand with me. God has beckoned today. God has put before us in this little session today, amen, a great challenge. God has great things for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Today, if I would tell somebody, I got an insurance plan that if you buy in, it's going to help you. I mean, if you have a flat in the middle of nowhere, hit a button and we'll come get you. Man, wow. I've had flats in the middle of nowhere. And guess what? God had sent strangers in the middle of nowhere to help me with my flats. My car's broke down. If he had that kind of insurance... In the middle of nowhere, well, I didn't even have to hit a button. Somebody pulled up next to me and said, sir, can I help you? And I had two little kids in the back seat. And the man said, oh, I know exactly what the problem is. And in 3 minutes, he had it fixed. And there's been, would you like that kind of insurance that when you have zero, you've given to God everything. There's times we have tithed and we've given an offering and somebody comes up and said, "Pastor, I don't have." And I had just a little bit set back for bills. And I felt the Lord said, "Give it." And my wife looks at me with eyes that are wide and said, "I don't know how we could do it." And I said, "But the Lord said it. We're going to do it." And she went. With obedience, she brought it to me. And I placed it in their hands. And the moment they pulled out of the driveway, I go, "Oh, what are we going to do now?" But I loved it. Because 2 days later, even somebody knocked on my door. And there stood an elderly gentleman. And in his hand, he said, "The Lord spoke to me to come bring this." And he put in my hand a wad of bills. I'm telling you, if you knew that kind of insurance policy where you would go crazy and say, "Man, I want that. I want to buy in." What about this? An insurance policy where somebody's hurting in the middle of the night. They're in pain. You walk in. You got more than a little bottle of medicine, more than a pill. But you just say, "Jesus, would you help?" And you watch the healing virtue flow. And that person immediately, the pain leaves. Have you ever seen a baby? That baby was gasping for breath. Pneumonia so bad, ready, blue. In the hospital, the doctor says, "We've done all we could do." I walk in that room and gently laid my hand on that baby and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ." And watch that baby immediately start breathing. The O2 level of that child begin to pick up. I'm telling you, amen, I'd rather have Jesus. Hallelujah. I'd rather have the glory of the Lord today. I'd rather have that assurance than to have the best insurance policy in the world. But it costs you surrendering to God your everything. You can't outgive God. God's here today. And he's wanting somebody. You know what I feel in the Holy Ghost? I feel this so strongly. Y'all remember some of you when your kids were little and you had put them in the corner or you had to take the paint stirrer. Pow, pow, pow. Just care, Brother Danny, y'all ever had to do that before? And it hurts your heart watching that baby get in that corner and hurt their backside. They were defiant. You had to do it. But in a little bit, you watched that little eyes that were swollen with tears turn around and look at mama or daddy, and they come running to you, and you picked them up, and they would say, "I'm sorry, mama. I'm sorry, daddy." You know what I feel? The Holy Ghost, God's ready for somebody to surrender and say, "God, I've tried my way. I need your way." God's ready to pull somebody into him in this service. The holiness and the righteousness of the Almighty God wants you to run to him. Quit running from him. He's ready to draw you into him. So what about your failure? So what about all the critique everybody else has done? People in the grandstands can't call your life when you're on the playing field. Everybody else will critique you and tell you, "Look how bad. Look, if I was you, I would have done." So what? I feel the grace of God today reaching And the arms of a great Savior said, come to me and give me the problem. Give me you. Amen. The problem's not that. The problem is that self that you have. Amen. That you need to surrender. I want you to come out of your chairs this morning. The Holy Ghost is here. Amen. Somebody today needs the hand of the Lord. You need to feel the grip of God's grace. You need to feel the arms of mercy around you to hold you. I'm telling you, you can live for God because there's a God that lives for you. You can make it today because there's a power from above. Amen. The glory, the power of the Almighty God. You may have to ask, God, forgive me. I've been foolish. God, I've tried it my way. But Lord, would you cleanse? Would you help me? Would you bless me? Hallelujah. Come on, the presence of God is here today. Amen. You're not called up here to join a church. You're not called up here today, amen, oh, to make some big deal. Amen. But you're called today to give yourself to him and let Jesus minister to you. Let it reach in places you can't deal with on your own. Amen. Let it reach inside your heart, your life, amen, and give you an exchange. Amen. Beauty for hurts. Beauty for things that you don't even think about. Hallelujah. Lift your voice around the front this morning, somebody. Hallelujah. Sister Kristen, go ahead and sing it to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a brother that needs the help and the lift of God. Hallelujah. Come on. He wants to help you today. Come on. How much more do I have to convince you today that God cares about you? What more does God have to? Come on. He's not after you with a fly swatter again. Come on, he's here with love and kindness and mercy.
I know my tomorrows are safe in his hands.
What about your exchange?
Just give me Jesus.
Can you give you today to him?
I know I can send.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
just
hallelujah.
Give me,
come on, let the Spirit of the Lord minister
Jesus
to you today. Come on, he wants to make it all right in your life. He wants to give you the peace, the joy, that love. He wants to assist you. He wants to minister through you. He wants to bless you. He wants to grace you. He wants to better you today.
Safe in his hand.
Give, give.
Just give me Jesus.
Surrender that. I give, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Just
come on, give him your brokenness.
Jesus,
come on.
I'll be all right. With him I can make it walking.
Hallelujah.
Beside.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know my tomorrow's a safe in his hands.
Just give me Jesus.
I know I can stand. Just give me Jesus and I'll be all right.
Hallelujah. Talk to him today.
With
I need you, Jesus.
I can make it.
I need your goodness, your grace, God. I need the work of your Spirit.
No, my tomorrows are safe. Just give me Jesus, I know.